Well, good evening. This is our fifth Lenten service, fifth Wednesday in Lent. I want to welcome you and also those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and via our phone patch. This is, I guess, what I consider one of our non-traditional services. You know, our traditions are we have a set order of service and we do a lot of requests. Tonight I'd like to spend a little bit of time with the Gospels. And especially the Gospel of Matthew. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We're not going to be here for our worship, and I'd like to read the Gospel, and it's quite lengthy. So, at some point here, I'm going to read it, and we'll take a break, and then sing a song. But does anybody have a song to get started with? In the pamphlet, number 10. Have a song? About number 15 from the pamphlet here. Thank you. One more, and then Pastor Tom is going to open with prayer and read next Sunday's psalm. Seven twenty-one in our supplement.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, shall we give thanks and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of grace that you have given to us. We come to you in the name of Jesus, the lover of our soul, the name that the sinner finds comfort in. Your word says that your Son was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so as we approach this holy time of year, we recognize the great love of our Savior, the one who gave his life for all mankind, the one who showed and demonstrated by his life the life for others, the selfless life, the life that's high and beyond living for self. Oh, that we would be given strength, dear Lord, to follow in the footsteps of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Hear us as we pray as Jesus, your Son, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our psalm for tonight, the psalm for Sunday, is the 31st psalm. I believe it's on 439 in the Pew Bible. And we read from verse 9 through 16. Psalm 31, verse 9, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Amen. It certainly is easy to see from these texts, especially at this time of year, the great suffering that our Lord did and performed for all of us. It's certainly clear from the scripture that the Lord largely was, as Isaiah said, this man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We can't really say from the biblical record that he was the life of the party. And yet, this is where all Christians find our solace. The hymn that we sang before the last one was number 15, that there's no place where earth's sorrows are felt more than up in heaven. And this is where our sorrows find dimension, and we rest in Christ Jesus and his sufferings for us. How great that is. The word says that a man will scarcely die for one of his friends, but the Lord has died for us while we were yet sinners. This is the largesse of heart that our Savior had, and it's extended to all of us. And so this season, though it's so surrounded with suffering, yet it is where we find our joy for a strange reason. So this is where the Lord truly has to be received spiritually. Because if we're looking for anything else in our Savior, sooner or later the teachings of Jesus just run out of interest for the heart. But if we, and I trust all of we here, all of us here, find this rest in the one who loved us and gave his life and suffered, we find no fault in him. Our spirits bear witness with his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. We have no problem with Jesus and what he did for us, how our heart rests in him, especially at this time, then as we celebrate the resurrection, which we live in daily, and we experience the power that comes from what he has done for us in living and triumphing over the enemies that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have another one? One of my favorites is number 100.
I mentioned in opening, I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about the Gospels. This is, because we're not going to be here on what we call either Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday. It's a special time of year, I think, as we look at the work that Jesus accomplished for us. And sometimes it's difficult to read the Passion Gospels. They're quite lengthy. Two chapters in all of the four Gospels. And I would like to read from the one that is set aside for Matthew. I think it's important to be able to pause before the Word. You know, the psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." And I don't think there's any more time in the church year that we can pause and that we have to pause, because we have to be silent before what God has accomplished. There is absolutely nothing that we can add. And that's what grace is. That's the gift that God has given, His love towards us. You know, the Word, I pray, becomes and has been precious to each one of you. It is a special gift that God has given, because it is life. I was reading in Nehemiah, and I think we, in our study in Nehemiah a few years ago, we marveled at the gift that God gave the people as they were returned to the land of Israel, to Jerusalem, and they were reestablishing the temple. And they spent a lot of effort in a natural way. But Ezra and Nehemiah and those that taught the Word thought it so important that they would hear the Word. And we're told in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, it says, "And Nehemiah, which is called Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto thee, the Lord your God. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, and eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send the portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And that is the preparation that our God has made. You know, Isaiah said, "Come unto the waters, come drink wine and milk without money and without price." That is what has been prepared for us. That which is sweet, that which God has supplied unto us, that brings joy into our hearts, the joy of the Lord, it has become our strength. You know, and the Gospels bring and focus, you know, we see a lot of events in the Gospels, but they draw to this work that Jesus accomplished. That's the entire purpose of them. I did a little bit of time compiling today from, I used AI, which, you know, sometimes it's a two-letter word that people don't like to hear, but, you know, I think it's going to be a part of our society, and I think we need to know what it's about and what is good platforms to use and what aren't. And so I'd like to read some of that which was compiled on the Gospels, because, you know, so often the world wants to say, well, the Gospels say different things and that. But I was amazed at what was put together here. The four canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, offer complementary yet distinct accounts of Jesus' final hours, reflecting their different audiences, emphasis, and theological goals. And so when we see that, the fact that we recognize that Matthew wrote to the Jews, Mark primarily to the Gentiles, especially the Roman Gentiles, Luke to the Gentiles, these were the Greek or Hellenistic Gentiles, and John wrote both to Jews and Gentiles, and his focus was on the divinity of Christ, the fact that Christ was not only true man, but he was also true God. Matthew and Mark are closely parallel, often called synoptic, along with Luke. And Luke adds unique details and more orderly narrative, while John stands apart with more theological and selective focus. And then there's three different areas that concentrated on the Jesus on the Mount of Olives, the trial, and the crucifixion. And so this is what came up from Jesus on the Mount of Olives. This is Gethsemane. After the Last Supper, Jesus and the disciples crossed the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, emphasize Jesus' intense emotional and spiritual struggle, or agony, while John portrays him as composed and in control. Matthew uniquely names the spot Gethsemane, or olive press, and stresses Jesus' deep sorrow. He began to be sorrowful and troubled, from Matthew 26:37. He falls down in prayer three times and repeatedly addresses God as my Father. He specifically quotes the cup prayer with the condition, if it be possible, and notes the disciples' failure to watch with him, emphasizing our human weakness and prophetic fulfillment. On the trials, Jesus faces religious, which is Jewish, and civil, or Roman proceedings. The Synoptics describe a nighttime hearing before the high priest Caiaphas in the Sanhedrin, followed by a morning confirmation. John focuses on an initial interrogation by Annas. The Roman phase centers on Pontius Pilate, with Luke alone adding Herod Antipas. Matthew expands the Jewish trial with false witnesses accusing Jesus of threatening the temple and the high priest's charge of blasphemy. In the Roman trial, it uniquely includes Pilate's wife's dream, warning him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, and Pilate's dramatic hand-washing to declare innocence. Barabbas is released after the crowd pressure. And in the crucifixion, all the Gospels describe the crucifixion at Golgotha as a place of the skull, the dividing of the garments, and the death around the ninth hour. But they highlight different signs, words, and reactions. Matthew adds dramatic apocalyptic signs at the moment of death: darkness, an earthquake, rock splitting, tombs opening, and saints being raised. The centurion declares, truly this was the Son of God. It records the cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22. And Simon of Cyrene carries the cross. These differences do not contradict, but enrich the portrait. The Synoptics emphasize suffering and human response, while John highlights divine sovereignty. Together they form a fuller picture of the events leading to the resurrection. For a side-by-side reading, many Harmony of the Gospel resources combine the text chronologically. So I'd like to read from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the better part of the 26th and 27th chapter, not the entirety, but I'd like to read the up through the 26th, starting at verse 14. And then before we start reading chapter 27, I'd like to be able to sing a song here. So let's read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. And that is on page 727 in the Pew Bible. With long readings like this, I think it's incumbent upon us to follow along, because it gets quite tedious. We'll read this in Jesus' name. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the eve was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou sayest it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this cup, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye that shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, he said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Be going, behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I came not to pray to my Father, and be present, and shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? It is the same hour. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, Are ye come out against us, against a thief with swords and staves, for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At last came two false witnesses, and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days." And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard this blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" Now Peter, sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he had got out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's sing song number 85 before we continue reading.
Thank you.
Let's continue with chapter 27 again in the name of Jesus. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. They said unto him, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the 30 pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood until this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they all the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. When he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain shall ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. The governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. and set over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried in a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them stood there, and when they heard that, they said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after the resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Amen. It's a long account, isn't it, of something that is very difficult for us to hear in human terms. And yet, if you recall from our very first Lenten service, I know what came to me was the words, "For you." This was all for you, dear brother and sister. The suffering, this death, but we know that it didn't stop there, it didn't rest there, because he rose again, victorious over death, over hell, and over the devil in our behalf. That today the joy of the Lord can be our strength. We can look to the promises that God has supplied in Christ, and knowing that this was his accomplishment for us, that we, simply through the matter of faith, you know, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What a gift in this word that God has supplied unto us. I just want to close with what was the epistle. It's from the second chapter of Philippians. And Paul, I think, tells us why it's for us. The second chapter of Philippians, verses 5 through 11, read this way. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and it took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. He is our Savior, but he is also our Lord and Savior, the one who brings to us the direction and guidance here in time, that one day we will be able to rejoice eternally in heaven. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for a word that's eternal, and we pray, Father, that you would continue to strengthen each one of us with that faith to believe and to trust in what your words and promises declare unto us, because it is this word which has become life to us. It brings us to a place where we can look and see the fulfillment in your Son, Christ Jesus, that has brought to us life eternal. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Someone have a song to close? When I was reading in Nehemiah, when they stood to listen to the word, they stood for 5 to 6 hours to hear that word. A long time, but what a blessing to receive the very joy of heaven itself.
About
7:20 in the supplement.
Thank you. Thank you.